Hello and welcome to the Apple Insider Podcast. I'm William Gallagher. Our sponsor this week is Notion. More about that later. And joining you and me is, well, I'm not going to say Apple Insider royalty because he's here, you'll hear me, but at least Apple Insider Managing Editor, Mike Wortherly. Mike, hello.
Hi, how are you, William?
Oh, I'm grand, but and in fact, I trust you are doing marvellously well. But there is something I want to zoom in on because I've got you here. And as we recorded this, it's reasonably just broken. News about trade-in cancellations. I think this is just notifications going wrong, but it isn't that Apple is basically screwing up actual trade-ins, is it?
No, this looks like to be a system error of some sort. So Apple uses a series of third-party partners. And I suspect that that there's some kind of data issue with one of those partners. I have spoken with Apple support, and they said that it's a system error. I am still waiting back, as of this recording, from an official response from Apple PR, which I may or may not get. We'll see how that all works out. But this is a temporary thing. This may already be resolved by the time you listen to this. But if you got that weird notification, or even if you didn't, go take a look at your trade portal and see what it says. And if it says that your trade was rejected in the last couple of days, it's wrong. It will correct itself eventually if it hasn't already.
I may be wrong about this, but I fret about trade-ins because I have so many problems with parcels here in the UK, things just not getting anywhere. As often, we've had stories of things, iPhones coming out from Apple being intercepted, that sometimes I think there's got to be a better way to make some money from trading in. Can I hand it to somebody in a dark park somewhere and get some used fivers, not in sequence? Or are you happy with Apple's trade-in system?
I have used Apple's trade-in system twice, and the first time I used it was to buy an M1 MacBook Pro because they had, for some reason, jumped up the price on my configuration by almost $600. So they took my 2018 MacBook Pro for like $1,800 in 2020, which seemed ludicrous to me. So I traded that in. I sold my GPU, which at that time I sold the GPU for more than I bought it for, and walked away with a well-equipped M1 Max MacBook Pro.
Look, I'm a software guy, you're a hardware guy, but I still remember the first time you were telling me about GPUs, that you would have a graphics card outside your computer, and I thought, this is left-handed screwdriver stuff. You'd, for some reason, just winding me up. But it was real, and now it isn't anymore. Am I right?
That's correct. There is literally no way right now in Apple Silicon for Apple to address any GPU that is not on the Apple Silicon die. I'm not a fan of this. The Mac Pro has PCI slots, and it doesn't really need to anymore, I guess. So there are specialized PCIe cards, right? And they're for audio files and for some video producers. And they can still be used in a PCIe Thunderbolt breakout box, but GPUs can't anymore. And I'm not a fan. The GPU is good in Apple Silicon. It's good in the Mac Studio. It's good in the Mac Pro. It could be way better.
That's actually what I was going to ask you next, whether or not anybody else should care. Is it, I mean, for your average user? Well, I suppose your average user wouldn't go get a GPU, would they? I mean, I wouldn't have thought of it at all.
No. I liked it a lot. I liked the concept a lot. I liked trading one external GPU across a couple different machines. That was kind of nice. Obviously that was unplug and replug kind of situation. Mm. I liked having the extra power on the desktop when I didn't necessarily need it when I was out and about. I mean, this is kind of old news at this point. I don't mind talking about it, obviously, but this is the main reason why when I reviewed the Mac Pro last year, I said that almost nobody should buy this.
Yeah. I mean, actually, this is one of the reasons I was particularly keen to talk to you. It's because we haven't spoken. Although, you know, just as with Malcolm last week, we're on Slack all the time. We haven't actually nattered in person since the last podcast in ages. So there are lots of things I want to pick your mind out. But actually, I was keen on the trade-in news because that's broken. There is other news you've written about that is particularly interesting to me this week. And it's potentially, I think, possibly horrible news about the iPad. I believed on May the 7th, we were getting a 12.9-inch iPad Air, brilliant new screen, everything wonderful. But there's a possibility that's wrong, is it?
Well, the 12.9-inch iPad Air seems almost certain based on the rumor mill at this point. Now, what is less certain is there was a report by Ross Young of Display Supply Consultants. He's one of the best there is. About a week and a half ago, that this MacBook Air was going to have a micro LED screen like the iPad Pro does now, like the 12.9-inch iPad Pro does now. And just a couple of days ago, he said, no, that's not the case. I've spoken to other suppliers, and it might be coming later in the year. And I don't know about that. I'm a little sketchy on that. It seems like now would be the time to do that. But ultimately, it's the rumor mill, and the rumor mill will, well, rumor. It's nothing is certain until Apple announces it. But yeah, that seems to be the only change here. Okay. I think there's a larger discussion we had about where the Air fits versus the 10th generation iPad, which we're not expecting to change here at the Apple event here in about 2 weeks.
I mean, I have an 11-inch iPad Pro, but I miss the 12.9-inch of a Pro I used to have. So I was excited about the iPad Air. But yeah, the idea of here is a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and then a few weeks later, here is a better one. Well, I mean, Apple's done that before, I suppose, but it doesn't seem... It seems like a peculiar thing. So as long as the 12.9 is likely to be coming, and we expect it on May the 7th, so it's not going to be, you know, the other side of WWDC.
Yeah, it's definitely on this side of it. Obviously, WWDC is coming up hot and heavy, right? It's the beginning of June. Yeah. It's the middle of June, not the beginning of June. It's the middle of June this year.
Actually, speaking of WWDC, I should say, if you are a subscriber to Apple Insider Podcast, then your exclusive extra, Apple Insider Plus this week, is about what could be Steve Jobs' most important ever WWDC keynote. And actually, I'm certain it's the most interesting of all the ones he gave, but that's later in Apple Insider Plus. WWDC does seem, I love that phrase coming in hot, because more than ever, this one sounds like it's going to be an exciting one. Am I just buying Apple's hype here?
Well, okay, so Apple and AI is supposed to be the big thing, right? Let's not forget that Apple has been using artificial intelligence and machine learning for a long time. Obviously, Siri is hot garbage right now as I talk about this, and I'm surprised, frankly, it didn't fire up all my devices when I said its name.
I am still having the Apple Watch thing. If I ask my watch to set a timer for 5 minutes, it will set it for 7 hours, 19 minutes, 16 seconds, or something insanely like that. And that kind of maddening thing with Siri. Otherwise, sometimes if I ask Siri for directions when I'm driving, it says, I can't tell you that when you're in the car. It's like, when else would you tell me? Calm. There are moments of heat with Siri, but generally it's as good as any of them, isn't it? But it's going to be improved. That's the story.
Well, yes. we'll see, right? I mean, you hear the tentativeness in my voice, right? Because every year, there are two times of the year that the rumor mill says that everything Apple does is going to be updated, and one of them is WWDC, and the other is September, October. And it's never true, right? It's never true that everything's getting an upgrade. The AI rumors are that Apple's going to have some kind of AI app store, and I don't know if I buy that. There's discussions about partnerships with Google and discussions. I'm kind of going to wait and see what happens here. And there's a big discussion about how Apple is so behind on AI. Let's clarify that with some words here. Apple is behind on releasing products that have generative AI. That doesn't mean they're behind. That doesn't mean that they've ignored it. It doesn't mean that they've never done anything about it, because it's clear that they have. John Giandrea was hired for this kind of thing, and he was hired years ago at this point. What, it's been 5 years?
Easily, yes.
4 or 5 years at this point. And to think that he's been sitting in office playing Tetris for those 5 years is ludicrous.
I remember seeing a quote from him actually saying... that AI, or machine learning, he would have called it at the time, was now in everything that Apple does. And that was at least 3 years ago since he said that, certainly before ChatGPT and all these things came along.
Yeah. I've got opinions. I've got strong opinions about generative AI. They need to be trained ethically and legally. Like, the internet is not free use. Just because you can get on the internet and you're paying your ISP does not give you a free license to do anything you want with whatever you find on the internet. And when most of the other AI model owners are queried about this, they kind of shrug and change the subject to other dumb yes. crap, like the difference between new Coke and old Coke or something like that. It's not ethical. It's not reasonable. It's not fair to artists. It's not fair to writers. It's not fair to videographers. It's not fair to anybody. And to say that you have the same skill set as an artist or writer because you can generate text from ChatGPT is ludicrous.
Yeah.
That is an entirely separate skill set. Don't equate it and don't call it equal to the actual creators of the content.
But the people who say it are people who aren't creators, and unfortunately, people who don't like paying creators, which is like 2/3 of the market there. But they'll learn eventually. Hopefully.
Well, paying for creators has been a thing all along, right? Yeah. No one has ever really wanted to do it. And you know, you do work for a writer's guild. You know how this goes. And
yes.
Yeah. You know, I've done writing work for folks before that I'm not going to get into, that I never got paid for appropriately, and have told them that I'm waiting for my words to appear, and if they do, you'll hear from my lawyer. Right. You know, right. And it's a complicated subject. I'm not going to say that people who use AI to create aren't creators. I'm not going to go that far. But it is not the same as being an illustrator. It is not the same as being the writer. It is not the same as being the sketcher or the videographer or the photographer. It's not the same.
Well, I was entirely agreeing with you there, but I have one exception, which is I interviewed a whole bunch of AI artists about 4 years ago, and they were artists who were using AI to achieve what they wanted, and it was actually the same AI in every case, but the artistry was totally different. And by chance, every one of them said to me that AI was like the paintbrush they were using. It was still their work. That I see as genuine art. But the sitting there thinking, I don't want to pay an artist, I'll just ask ChatGPT to draw me a clown or something, that feels wrong, pointless.
At this point, you and I think, agree very similarly. It's just we're disagreeing on the words. It's... Are they artists? I don't know. I'm not qualified to judge if they're artists enough. If they want to think they're artists, that's fine, but they shouldn't call themselves painters. They shouldn't call themselves anything of that nature.
Okay. I mean, these people, I was really impressed with all these people. One of them even got me to put on a headset for the only time. Couldn't tell which one it was. Yeah, I just thought, yeah, I was more interested in the story of when they were doing a museum installation and they had to factor in the time to clean the things before each person came in, so they could only do so many shows an hour or something like that. That's the kind of detail I was riveted by. But artistry, yeah, it was there. So this is all WWDC and beyond. Right now, you could say that absolutely nothing at all is happening with Spotify, even though they keep trying. I know they tried to put an update through Apple and they've complained that Apple didn't let it through, but now I understand they've tried again and it's still not going through. Apple's just being meany at this time. Is that fair?
So Malcolm, Malcolm Owen said something really apropos in our editorial channel that we manage things in today. And he said today, before I get into the nitty-gritty, he said, this is Spotify acting like that guy who repeatedly takes the free samples of the supermarket, then whining when they're told they have to pay if they have to grab a packet from the shelves. And I think this is exactly what this is, right? So Spotify's CEO keeps complaining about the Apple tax, and he keeps complaining about Apple's 30% that they take from everybody, and he keeps complaining that things aren't fair. Well, let's keep things in perspective. This is a guy that's built his brand that I don't think you can ask anybody who has an iPhone anywhere, do you know what Spotify is? I don't think the answer is going to be no. So they've got a reader app on the store right now that they can go with the existing terms of the App Store, not change a thing, not link out to their website and say you can get a better deal there. That's a key point. I'll come back to that in a minute. And that changes nothing. They have to pay nothing. They have to pay no fees, etc. in the EU. Let's be clear that this is all in the EU. So the second update that they submitted earlier this week has got that link out to the website, has got, you know, details on pricing on the website. They have not agreed to the new terms on the App Store, and they think that's fine. And Apple said, okay, agree to the terms of the App Store, including the fees that we've applied across the entire EU for links out, which are allowed by the DMA. at least right now, depending legal challenge, I assume this is going to be tied up in courts for years at this point.
Yeah.
So Spotify wants their cake and they want to eat it too. And what's worse yet is they keep coming back to us with their PR saying, well, that's not what we want you to say. Well, that's tough shit. We're not your PR wing. We're not Apple's PR wing. You know, and as far as this, you know, the 30% fee that Spotify keeps complaining that they've had to pay, they haven't had to pay that in 5 years. 5 years ago, they had 600,000 subscribers that paid through the App Store. 6 years ago, they took away the ability to pay for subscriptions through the App Store because they didn't want to pay Apple's fees. So it's been, and so that 600,000 has been steadily declining ever since.
Hmm.
So they're complaining about this 30% fee, which they weren't even paying then because it had been over a year since anyone could sign up for the first year of the service and pay that 30%. So they keep on beating on that 30% Apple tax, 30% Apple tax, 30% Apple tax that they haven't paid in a half a decade.
Yeah, but they're looking out for us, the little people.
No, really. And that's...
It's not
that's,
them.
And they keep on coming back at that. Come back at this. We're looking out for the consumer. Bullshit. Absolute 100% unadulterated Colombian bullshit. It's, you know, here's the thing. I've been doing this job a long time. And before this job, I was dealing with press folks in other jobs. And it is... And PR bullshit is easy to spot when you've been doing it for 20 years. And everything Spotify comes at us with this is their own grade of
Sorry, I was just thinking of how many bleeps I've got in stock that I can put out on
the Well, I hope you've got a lot because, you know, here's the thing. The DMA exists and it's not relevant how I feel about the DMA. There are aspects of it that I like. There are things that I like that it's done. Like, I love that aspects of it have spurned Apple to make emulators possible with limitations that if you want to get into it, technically we will, but we really don't need to right now. But they exist. Like, I've used Delta with games that I own. Let's be clear about that. It's games that I own. And I love playing them on the iPhone. They're great playing them on the iPhone. You know, there have been emulators that have snuck on the App Store before now, but these are legit. Delta is legit and official by the Delta developer. You know, so I love things like that. But there are other aspects of it that just feels like the EU gatekeeping local companies. You know, Spotify is a local company. And it is dominant. It's not Apple Music doesn't even have half the share that Spotify has in the EU. Doesn't even have half.
I'm not disagreeing at all. I think you're right. Spotify, Love Company, all that stuff. I'm just kind of not surprised. I think the American government would favor US companies as well. It's kind of a natural thing. There are things I think are extremely disappointing in what the EU has done. But overall, you've got to give them credit. They've got things done where the rest of the world hasn't yet. And I think the rest of the world, including the States, will follow on a lot of these. So...
Hang on. Yeah. Let's roll that back a little bit. It took 4 years, more than. It took almost 5 years to get where we are today. That's
sure,
not getting
they
things
got
done.
There. It is, because those things are done now, and they aren't in the States or anywhere else. So you can argue about whether it should have taken less time, but they got there. So I got to give them some credit for that. But if we're going... If we're going to talk about Spotify and its the anti-steering issue that it's been complaining about, I think we should hear from quite a reasonable point of view here, which is obviously Epic Games, which is also correctly, I'm sure, taking Apple or trying to take Apple back to court over exactly the same anti-steering compliance, aren't they? I'm guessing you're more on Epic Games' side in this one, yeah?
You know what? I don't. My thoughts about the App Store are complex. This is Apple's store. This is Apple's business. This is run by Apple. It's hosted by Apple. It's served by Apple. It is run by Apple. Target doesn't get to run into Walmart and say, we demand that you put Target toilet paper on Walmart shelves.
Right. No, right? That's true. Yes.
So we are on a lot of legal grounds now, which are a little shaky. You know, the U.S.'s antitrust is a little shaky based on its own antitrust rules for monopoly. And this is kind of in that, in kind of in that same thing. It's so obviously everybody appealed the antitrust ruling that Judge Gonzalez handed down, and the Supreme Court said, you know, pack sand, we're not listening to either of you assholes, you know. So we're back, right? And Epic says, well, you're not listening to anti-steering. There's an evidentiary hearing. It remains to be seen what the judge is exactly going to do about it. Is it going to come to a trial again? I don't know. Who knows? You know, but it's going to take years. This is again not going to be a quick thing, and it's going to be appealed for a long time to come.
I was so surprised back in December last year when Supreme Court basically said, yeah, no, not going to look at this anymore. And everybody's saying, that's it, it's over. And I'm thinking, I thought this would run for a decade. And yeah, it could do. Could still
I mean, good
do.
News. Yeah, good news. It probably will. It's. I'm kind of surprised that Apple hasn't just opened up an entire legal barrage on the EU. kind of shocks me at this point. And, you know, there's some discussion, well, Apple is doing this unilaterally. They are making a mockery of the law. No, they're actually not. They are following the letter of the law, and the spirit of the law is a matter for the courts, right? The intent of the law will have to be determined in the court. So even the DMA isn't done yet.
Goodness.
I mean, do people think that Tim Cook just sat in a room and said, "Fuck these guys, I'm going to charge 27% anyway"?
Right. That was my last and biggest bleep I've got available. So can we just? I'll get some more stock in for next time. But
well, I mean, you're getting the full authentic Mike Worthley experience.
That is true,
show,
which is what I want. It's true. But perhaps that's a moment in which you just pause and reflect.
This episode is brought to you by Notion. Notion is an app that I think you only really get when you start using it yourself. And just an example, I've been trying to think of a way to describe it that's simple and quick, but also gets you the right sense of the scope of just how broad and useful Notion is. So, after actually staring at a blank Notion screen for a minute, I asked it for help. I asked Notion AI for help. I clicked the Ask AI button and I asked it to suggest exactly that, how to describe it, broad, useful, and it did. Notion, it said, is a multifaceted tool that allows you to create nested pages infinitely, eliminating the clutter of folders. Okay, it started with that, and there is a lot more. I mean, it was really concise. It was tightly written. It was nice, but it still told me a lot. And actually, why don't you just read it all when you try Notion for free? Because what I want you to see now, what I want you to know now, is that this wasn't AI replacing my writing or AI replacing any of the work that I want to do. It was Notion AI helping me out with an idea when I was a little stuck. I'm so used to thinking of what I put into Notion, for example, that I hadn't even thought about telling you about this business of avoiding the clutter of folders. And that's kind of key to Notion. But as you use the app, you just accept that this is part of making it such a fast and useful tool. It seems like the right way for things to work. Notion is one space that includes everything you need to write, to work out, to do. It's for notes and documents. It's for to-do lists. Really, ultimately, what it's for is you. Notion becomes what you want it to be. And then, as you use it more and more, I think it becomes what you need to. And throughout it all, the fully integrated Notion AI helps you work faster, write better, even think bigger, doing tasks that would normally take you hours in just seconds. So do it. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/appleinsider. Very important. That's all lowercase letters. Notion.com/appleinsider to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. Notion.com/appleinsider. And thank you to Notion for its support of the Apple Insider podcast.
And so now, having thought about Notion and its calmness, Mike, you're more relaxed about, for example, President Biden signing into law the ruling that ByteDance must sell or divest TikTok, aren't you? You're happy with that?
No, I don't think this makes any sense at all. The House just wrapped themselves in the flag and said TikTok is a security threat. Well, it's not. So now we're going to sell it to an American company in theory, assuming TikTok's legal protestations fail. And it's not going to make the United States any more secure. It's not going to make citizens any more private. It's going to be business as usual. It's just the data is going to be owned by a U.S. company. How does that make us more private? I think in many ways it might make us less, because it depends who's going to buy it, right?
I was just thinking, actually, let's just hear for a moment from the CEO of TikTok, Shou Chu, because he has a comment about this.
Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard.
I'm actually slightly confused about this. I mean, I see the logic that ByteDance is a Chinese company, therefore perhaps it can or maybe even has been compelled by China to deliver data. But you're saying that any company might do that to its government, or actually that I'm not going to say Facebook allowed, but there are American companies that have dealt with users' data in an untoward way. So just changing ownership isn't necessarily a safeguard, but also just operationally, TikTok is worldwide. Would we have an American-only TikTok? How would they interoperate if they're not going to have data back and forth?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. People are saying, well, this isn't a technological problem. It is absolutely a technological problem. It is a technological problem that our halls of government do not have the skills or knowledge to rule upon effectively. And yet they did it anyway, in the interest of singing Lee Greenwood in the halls in the halls of Congress in the White House. This is, you're talking about favoring American companies, right? This is exactly that. This is taking is mandating a piece of a foreign owned company be sold to an American owned company based on a security briefing that the people that use TikTok and the small businesses that use TikTok rely on for money making, right? There's a lot. I think in many ways that this is a cash grab by folks in Congress, not directly, but I think that they want that lucrative public service job, and they can say when they're out of office, "Hey, look what I helped do to whatever company buys TikTok." And I have been screaming about the lack of technical knowledge in our government officials for over a decade, and it has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. Because it's the same people, and they're not any wiser. You know, it's the folks that made these decisions had no business making this decision, because they don't know the first goddamn thing about technology and what it's going to take and what it's going to impact. And like I said, are talking vaguely about security concerns, which, given iPhone engineering and given Android engineering, don't exist.
A few weeks ago now, I was on BBC Breakfast, the Breakfast television show, and I'm waiting to go and talking to the studio manager and some UK politicians being interviewed about something on the monitors, and we talk about, and I told the studio manager things that I knew were wrong with the technology stuff, like Boris Johnson, I don't know, 30 prime ministers ago, however many we've been through recently, saying that they were talking to Apple really seriously about, we didn't use these words, but about breaking iOS and putting back ends in it. And that I said to the studio manager and Apple are going, Boris, who? Like, they hadn't even bothered to make the call to be told no. It was just straight out lies. And the studio manager said, yeah, same with this. It's just constantly going on with it. And what is the point of putting forward government experts who aren't doing anything and who don't know? And the other thing is, here in the UK, it's extremely likely, not so, but extremely likely, that we're going to have a massive change of government here, and an astounding number of MPs are going to be not only out of work here, but struggling to get the usual lucrative contracts somewhere else. And I don't know what the situation is like in America. I mean, you have an election coming up as well, and unlike us, you don't keep the date secret. So things are happening everywhere. But I imagine it's not the major elected officials that are making these decisions. It's the people who are doing the work underneath, and they're not going to change in either case. So can it get any better anywhere? That's why it's so bleak.
No, the infrastructure that existed to educate lawmakers in technology was dissolved because they thought they were too smart and they didn't need it anymore. And that should have been an indicator that they weren't smart enough, because they very clearly need it and have always needed it. They have always needed a government agency to talk about the difficult concepts with them and summarize it in a soundbite that they can... I mean, it sounds like I'm being rude, and it's because I am. I've worked with some of these people, and they're idiots. They have money, and they have folks that do good PR for them, and, you know, they got their American pins and so forth, and they've got their blue and white and red campaign flags. But most of them are idiots. And just the stuff that they're ruling on about technology, they don't know and they don't care to know.
So on the one hand, governments are supposed to look after us and not doing a great job, probably anyway. Nope. And on the other hand, I was going to say big tech isn't looking out for our interests either, really. So no. We're screwed.
Yeah.
Aren't we? Oh, I mean, well, it's a swear word.
Okay. I mean, it's hard being up at the edge of that cliff with the elephants coming at us. We're going to get trampled by the elephants. We're going to jump off the cliff. Which is it going to be?
Yeah. To bring it back to TikTok, though, America bans TikTok. How long before China bans WhatsApp? Or, well, I don't think China cares about WhatsApp, or Facebook or something like that. Will China demand the sale or the divestiture of Meta?
Well, I don't know, but China demands a lot already, right? This feels like retribution to some extent. This feels like, I don't know. It's complicated. Obviously, geopolitics is a sophisticated machine that doesn't run right and takes gas you can't find. I don't know. All I can say is good that I'm not the king of the world, because it would be just bad. Just bad.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't be a dictator for just the first day, for example.
Or no. No, I don't think
there.
So. Yeah.
No. Okay. Let's go into happier ground. I think we need a happy place now. And there is happy news. Well, happy rumor, anyway. The iPad. It's finally going to get a calculator. I've got to say, I don't care, because I use pCalc anyway, and I'm sure I'll just carry on using it. But what's the strength of this, and is it going to transform your life?
So Craig Federighi, a couple years ago, told Marques Brownlee that they didn't have an iPad app because they wanted to make something really, really amazing. I want to say that interview was about 3 years ago. It's been a while since they did that. And presumably, we broke the news that macOS was going to get a new calculator. And the iPad thing getting a new calculator only makes sense because the binaries aren't dissimilar, right? We've known all along that on Apple Silicon, with Apple Silicon Max, you can make an app that runs on both platforms, and it is usually not much more than a checkbox. Is it going to revolutionize my life? Under no circumstances will it make any difference in my day-to-day operations on anything I do. Not a single bit of difference.
Oh, give it a chance. Come on.
Well, I mean, so there are calculations I do need to do, but a calculator app isn't going to do it. I've got vertical market software for that. And if I need to do quick sums, then I'm going to do them on my iPhone.
Hmm. So all this work, all this effort, all these years of waiting, and Apple needn't have bothered.
Well, no, really. I disagree. Well, I think that there are use cases for it. It's just not for me. Right? It's great. Finally, a calculator app that's not a third party. Sorry if you're a third party calculator app for the iPad, because this is going to be a real problem for you.
Yeah. I mean, pCalc is so good. I've even got pCalc on my Apple TV, although I've got to admit, I haven't exactly used it a lot there. I just put it on to see what it was like. But, you know, Apple could have just bought pCalc and sorted it out.
Yeah, but they didn't. So here we are. There's a reason why they call it Sherlocking, right?
That is true, yes. All right, I thought that was a happy place, but maybe not. How about this? Definitely not a happy place, necessarily. I mean, Wes Hilliard, who's back next week, he would not necessarily think this is a happy place, but you, I believe, may feel differently. Apple Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. Sales are down in the States. I'm not actually that surprised, because I figure, I mean, everybody who's going to buy one bought one when it came out. But are the sales declining more than expected?
No. So the only person who thought there were 650,000 Apple Vision Pros getting made was Ming-Chi Kuo himself. So right. he said in January there were 400,000 being made. Then he said in February there were 650,000 getting made. Now he's saying in April there are 400,000 getting made. Which is it? Mm. And so, okay, so let's roll this back a little bit. Every year in the spring for iPhones, they're inevitably, Apple is cutting this thing. Apple is cutting iPhone orders. Well, yes, because it's easier for them to cut than underguess and have to correct, right? That has been the case. Like, Apple didn't guess with the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, right? They didn't guess right. And the iPhone 6 Plus was hard to get for 4 months. 4 months after release. It was nearly impossible to buy one.
Well, I'd forgotten that.
So now I suspect scaling up is harder than scaling down.
Right.
It is. So even if this 400 to 650 to 400 is right, and I'm not convinced it is, and the tone of the article that we wrote earlier in the week is just talks about this, not in detail, but I kind of had I've had some time to consolidate my thoughts on this a little bit. I think it's always been 400. I think that maybe he got a whiff of something in supply chain that said 650, and I think that he is misinterpreting this to mean that there's been a cut. I don't think there's been a cut. I think it's always been 400. There is always a surge of sales in the first couple of weeks for a new Apple product, no matter what it is, and then it settles down to a steady state. And we're at that steady state. He says that, well, this puts in doubt the 2025 refresh. Well, that was in doubt anyway. No one knows what Apple's plan is on this. I'm not even convinced that Apple has a solid plan on this. Now, had they blown through 400,000 of these in a month, that's a different matter. Right? If they were still backordered right now, to profound lengths, like a month or more, I think that would have changed the future plan for Apple Vision Pro. There is a plan for Apple Vision. Note I left off Pro. There is a plan for Apple Vision. It's just not clear what it is yet.
My mind's still on the scaling up, scaling down thing, because it seemed to me that if I am a supplier and I've been asked to do 3 million of something, and now I'm told, no, I only want 2 million of it, that's a problem. And I'm thinking of, it's a worse example, isn't it? It was the mini LED companies. We don't know for certain, but it looks like two of them were just dropped by Apple, and one of them, if we're right, had spent over $1 billion developing a factory that now isn't going to be used for Apple.
So there's complications here, right? Just about everybody does what's called just-in-time production.
Yeah.
Which means that they don't have months of supply, they have days of supply. Mm. So you can build this, so you've got this initial upfront cost, which is the initial tooling to make a production line. Then you've got the material cost to make what's coming off that supply line. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a difference between Apple saying, okay, build a supply line, oh, we're not going to get any from you, versus build a supply line and make 4 million. No, wait, 3 million. There's a huge difference between those two. So when that order is cut, the company in question isn't sitting on, a million units of components if they've purchased properly. And it's not just Apple that does this. All the big name manufacturers does. Microsoft does this. Samsung does this. This is not a solely Apple phenomenon. It's more widely reported with Apple because there's this weird, Apple must die kind of sentiment that floats around, and it's always been strange. The Apple must die sentiment has existed as far back as I can remember even reading about it when I was a teenager, and that was, a really long time ago.
6 or 7 years at least.
At least.
I remember actually being, I'm trying to remember now, I think I was shown around a Dell factory once, and that was where I was first told about just-in-time manufacturing. And at that moment, I thought that sounded brilliant, the speed of it all. But, since then, all these years later, I'm thinking about the suppliers providing things to them. And I presume everyone is basically just-in-time-ing the whole thing, or it falls apart.
Yeah.
It seems like a fragile process, the supply chain.
Look back when the COVID lockdown started. Look how much Apple was impacted for 2 years. They negotiated it well because Tim Cook got this job because he's a supply chain master and has always been a supply chain master, right? Yeah. So even look at simple things like toilet paper and the stuff that was out at the supermarket. Some of it was panic buying, yes, but the rest of it was because something in supply chain broke down, and so just-in-time broke down.
God, the interconnectedness of all things. Mm-hmm. It's great in a way. I mean, bad example, it went horribly wrong, but we all need each other and we're all better together. That's it. Am I just reaching here? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm going to put in a disclaimer here. This is a gross oversimplification of supply chains everywhere.
Yes, I'm
okay,
sure.
So if you are a supply chain master, I don't send me an email saying, well, that's not precisely how it works. I know that's not precisely how it works. This podcast is only an hour long, and I've got a million more things to do after the podcast. So, right. You know, this is not, we're not supply chain insider. We are.
No, but you could email me if anybody knows about it. I'd be interested to read this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm interested to read it, but a nastygram about it, I'm not interested in that.
Oh, fair enough. Yes. Who would send nastygrams anyway?
Oh, you'd be so surprised. Spotify. Spotify sends
nastygrams. That's true. Yeah. Well, do you think, just top of my head here, that Apple might have had the odd nastygram over, for instance, fine woven cases?
So fine woven have been garbage from the jump. They're better on the Apple Watch, I think, predominantly because there's less flat exposed surface area. They're all bumpy, right? The Apple Watch ones are all bumpy, and there's a lot less material per unit. The problem is so I said, why not? I'm going to pick up a fine woven. They're cheap enough. And, man, just the stains and the finger oils and the yuck that it just picked up after just a couple weeks. I just shifted back to a generic silicone case that costs like $8, and I've been using it for longer than I ever used the fine woven.
So why do you, I mean, I didn't know about the stains. I knew they're not very durable in some way. I don't know whether they crack or something. I thought they just maybe didn't feel nice, but also they didn't do their job very well.
They feel okay. They're suede adjacent if you kind of squint at it when you're feeling it. Okay. They are, so they're post-consumer recycled content. I think they said, Apple said like 65%, and that's good and noble, but yeah. I don't know how this one made it through the release process.
That's what I was going to ask you, yeah.
This is like iPod socks to me. It is a product that sounded good somewhere in a design board, but in actuality, kind of not fabulous.
I know people who had iPod socks, you know. Okay, I don't think I ever actually saw one in real life myself, but I can think of at least one person I know who liked his iPod, well, sock singular.
Oh, Andrew O'Hara loves them. He loved the concept of them. I believe he talked about them in a video, but I you know, they you know, you don't need a bespoke iPod sock. A regular sock will do just fine.
I mean, I go caseless anyway, so what do I know? But fine woven, yeah, it felt like Apple dropped all leather in exactly the same breath and introduced fine woven for everything else. And I don't see how they ramped it up to that level without having held it for a bit and seen. But do you think they were committed to getting rid of leather and they had to go with whatever they had?
No, I think they probably could have waited on both. I don't know. Ultimately, I don't know, right? Apple's got this big environmental kick, and a company as big as Apple, you kind of have to, right? Because it's just the volumes that Apple produces are huge. So even if you have a minute environmental impact on every individual product you make, when you scale it up into the hundreds of millions of devices, that is cumulative. That is not, you know, that is not a minor impact. So you got to think about it to some extent to be any kind of responsible. And I think they sat down and looked at the leather processing industry and said, wow, there's a lot involved here. There's a lot of environmental impact here. We need to figure out something that impacts the environment less. And they came up with fine woven, which, like I said, seemed good in the lab, but when the rubber hit the road and actual, you know, millions of grubby human hands were put on it, I think things fell down.
I'm not surprised that you learn things after something is released, because even, you know, testing inside beta, it makes sense. But somehow this one, it seems so universally instant dislike of it, and not just just like as in taste and fashion or something, but demonstrable failures of it, that it surprises me that it could get through. But then also we hear,
So we talked about Fine Woman pretty early, and we said, look, this is already looks bad in the Apple stores. It looks terrible. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we found out that Apple employees have been told to replace these every 3 or 4 days. So we reported all that in the span of about 2 weeks, right, including our own impressions of the case material. Mm-hmm. And people said, well, you can't judge people trying to intentionally damage the case over a few days with how it's going to wear over long periods of time. You absolutely can. Because that's just accelerating the process of you taking it out of your pocket and your kids, you know, scraping it across a table or it being in your pocket with sand, or which, by the way, don't do that. Sand is some of the hardest substance known to man. It will, you know, that you can easily get. It will scratch up anything glass in your pocket. Don't, if you have sand in your pocket, get it out. It's way worse than keys. You know, so it was easy to see from the beginning that fine woven was not a great material for the masses. And I'm sure there are people that love their fine woven cases. And I'm happy for you. If you love your fine woven case, great. Just maybe get another one or two, because it doesn't seem to have very long lifetime left to it.
There is a story that there will be one more gasp of this for one more season. And I don't know what you'd call the season for this. But okay, if it's true that it's gone, Apple doesn't seem to be going back to leather. Are they just not going to make any cases for the iPhone 16?
No, they'll do silicone and they'll do hard plastic probably still. And, you know, I don't think they're going to go back to leather, because they have entire advertising campaigns about how we ditch leather. I don't think they're going to go back on that. I don't think this is going to be like a Samsung notch kind of thing.
Right.
I don't foresee Apple going back to leather.
So actually, when I just said to you there, there's the one more season thing, and I don't know when the season is. The first thought is obviously when is the next release of an iPhone. And it occurs to me that we're now certainly 7, is it 8 months yet since the iPhone 15 range came out. Isn't there normally by now a mid-cycle replacement, just the same thing with another color? And we haven't had that this time.
There is typically a spring new color, whether it be red or something else, on the iPhone itself, and there are usually case updates around this time of year too. But, you know, on the other hand, we're also 2 months later than we thought iPads were going to be.
That's true, yes.
And we do have an event in a week and a half.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good. Okay. But one more thing about iPhones, and not to do with cases and things, and this is another reason for wanting you on the show this week, because you reported on this. Korea is saying the iPhone is not safe, but Android is. Am I just reading a headline there, and actually there's some practicality behind this?
No, no.
Okay.
This is 100% homegrown protection. This is the Korea government or military deciding that they want to protect Samsung over everybody else. So their excuse was that we have mobile device management software to secure phones, but it can't turn off the microphone, which means that it's a poorly designed set of mobile device management software. And so they're using their own failure to develop this properly and just saying, well, no, you can't have your iPhone. Sorry.
Mm.
You know, it's... Yeah. I mean, apparently this is the nationalism podcast this week, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking that. every country out for itself. Kind of a shame that I'm in England then, because we're not doing it. Oh, but there is something. England does, apparently. We do football. And that's the last thing I want to talk to you about this week, because Apple wants to buy football, or soccer, as you might call it, and things. And they're going to spend a lot of money on this. I know it's FIFA. I'm ashamed to say I couldn't tell you what FIFA stood for, except it's probably one of the F's will be football, won't it? Actually, probably Federation. I've got two of the letters in FIFA. It's all about football, and America's presumably mad keen, or Apple wouldn't be bothering with this at all. Are you going to ditch, I'm trying to think of all the other letters, like MLS, B, MFI, MI something, in favor of soccer?
No, I'm not. I am not a... My cousins were huge soccer fans when we were all young. I don't know if they still are or not. What I think this is for, ultimately, is I think this is a play for Apple Vision Pro content. I think this is a play for killer Apple Vision Pro content. Because I think sports, in the short term, are the killer app for that.
But hang on, even I think sports is probably better when you're in a bar with lots of people, or you've got your friends around and things. Mm-hmm. Not a solo activity.
I mean, nobody said anything about Solo there, right? It just Apple Vision Pro is on because they've got those new, you know, those new stand-ins, right? That came in.
Oh,
I forget
true.
What they're called
yes.
a couple weeks
they,
ago.
Personas, yes.
Yeah, and Apple said all along that they want Apple Vision Pro to be the most social headset. So imagine that you just spent $25,000 to get Apple Vision Pros for all of your buddies, and now you're sitting in your living room with your Apple Vision Pros watching the game, and each one of you is watching it from a different perspective because you're sitting in different places around the field, right? Because that's the kind of potential that having field-level access to cameras in production can give you if you're someone like Apple with an infinite money pit.
I'm sorry, just my mind's gone back to, what's it called now, where you can watch 2D things on your iPhone, your Apple TV, and share it and watch with your friends. And I cannot conceive of anything more tedious than watching, I don't know, Silo or Slow Horses. And there's my second cousin, five times removed, picking his nose, and my aunt's eating popcorn and things. Can we all just... Oh, and somebody comes to the front door and rings the doorbell, so Apple TV thinks that's far more important than what's going on
well,
with this.
You are thinking about a classic media consumption narrative here, right? There was a study that came out a couple of weeks ago that said something like 70% of 25 and under watch movies and television in their homes with subtitles on, regardless. And that has got a lot to do with multitasking. That's got a lot to do with attention distraction, doing other things at the same time. Because I don't know about you, but I can read those subtitles faster than the dialogue comes.
Yes.
And it's a whole thing. And I just think that we're talking about a difference in media consumption paradigms between generations in that case.
Yeah, everything's different. Things move on. I find I actually like subtitles for it. I was once in a cinema watching Coco Avant Chanel, which is a French film in English subtitles, and there were two teenagers in front of me screaming away in German. And I thought, actually, this is brilliant. Multicultural in one place. I had a really good time. Watching that film without those teenagers, it's a bit dull. So nothing wrong with that. It's just, I also remember, somebody really famous was complaining on Twitter that something made no sense in a drama they're watching. And now I was on Twitter because I'd reviewed the show, I'd already seen it, and I was just doing something else. And I knew that if she hadn't been tweeting about something else at a certain moment, everything would have been so clear. And I thought, you have chosen to miss something, fine, but now you're complaining about it, and that's not fine. Why blame a show that's done really well because you have chosen to do something else? So I have a problem there. It's like an entitlement as well as a distraction, and that bothers me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now it's my turn to get heated. Calmness, serenity, light. You are not going to tune in for $1 billion worth of football, and neither am I, but presumably other people will.
Oh, yeah. It's the number one sport in the world, right?
I did not know that. It's really more than NASCAR or something is supposed to be gigantic.
Yeah,
for it.
I mean, NASCAR is gigantic, but and so is F1, but they are localized phenomenons, right? There is some spread, like the NFL does games in London, and so does Major League Baseball. But it's not like they're playing. Either. It's not like there is a London team playing either game. So, so everybody's trying to become that worldwide sport, but soccer/football actually is that worldwide sport.
Okay. Well, the Eurovision Song Contest, it's heading there, I promise you. That's spreading. I can't tell how blankly you're looking at me, but quite
No,
blankly.
I know what it is. I'd watch that in 3D. I would put on my Apple Vision Pro headset for that.
Yeah, I'd do what I do here, which is tune in for the scores at the end, really. I can't believe I say that, but sometimes that's where all the drama is in that show, rather than the music. I feel we might be getting off the point here. What we have coming next is May the 7th. We have new iPads. Just tell me this. Wes is very clearly an iPad and now an Apple Vision Pro user. I am very clearly a Mac user, although I love my iPad Pro. Where do you stand on the pantheon of Apple devices?
I am a right tool for the right job kind of guy. I am presently staring at a 32-inch screen on my left, two 27-inch screens in portrait mode on my right. My phone is right here. My iPads are currently being charged. I'll read on my iPads. I don't do any serious work on my iPads. I will communicate with my iPhone. I don't do any serious work on my iPhone. My serious work is on the Mac.
But hang on, do you just say iPads plural?
Yeah.
So what have you got? What do you use?
Oh, I have a M1 12.9, and I've got the most current, as of recording time, iPad mini.
All right. Would you like me to look after either of those for you at any point?
So I used to have just the 12.9, but then I would fall asleep reading something and my face would hurt. So that's what the mini is for. It hurts way less when you drop it on your face when you fall asleep.
What about the Apple Watch? That's the only one we didn't cover there.
I wear an Apple Watch because my cardiologist says I have to. I have written about this a couple of times, right? Mm. I am still a reluctant Apple Watch wearer. It is one too many devices too far down my preferred work chain to, you know, say I'm a, you know, Apple Watch Pro user. I'm not. I use it for digital authentication at a couple of places I go, for passes and things like that, because it's more convenient than whipping out the old iPhone. But that's about it. I don't, you know, have one. I don't spend a lot of time on it, if that makes sense. I don't use it for music streaming. I'll use it to make sure those rings are full, you know, for whatever that's worth. And that's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love my Apple Watch. And I particularly like it when I'm in London and I can just run through the tube system there and vaguely wave my watch at the turnstiles and then crash into them because the turnstiles don't always work. But in theory, you don't go straight through. And it's not Apple's fault that London Underground turnstiles don't work. So I love the convenience of it, and I like the ability to pay for it. But I realise also I've just made a terrible mistake, which is I said the Apple Watch was the one thing I hadn't asked you about, and of course there is now the biggest one of them all. I know you're an Apple Vision Pro user. Is it on your face right now?
It is 100% not.
Oh, I did not know which way that was going to go there. I think I've said this before, talking to Wes, who's obviously very keen on it. I think I would enjoy it for a while and then stop using it. Is that generally what's happened with you, or is it just doesn't happen to be there today?
Okay, so Disney has provided a great deal of movies in 3D, including several Star Wars movies, and those are fun because I'm a Star Wars fan. The Gene Roddenberry Archive has got a bunch of stuff that they've rendered in 3D, and that's pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
The single-screen Mac thing is less than what I have on my table, so no. Right. It is an interesting technology that I spoke about here in the podcast. I am not upset that Apple released it the way that they did it, the way they wanted to do it. I also don't think that it is a product that I am going to get a lot of work done with it. That said, I have seen some pretty impressive things with it, but those pretty impressive things could have been done on other platforms as well. So we'll see. For me to have more faith in the Apple Vision Pro ecosystem, I really need to see what they're going to talk about at WWDC, because there's a very real possibility that given that Vision OS is only going to be 5 months old, they may not do much with Vision OS at WWDC this time around. So we'll see. There a lot has to happen for me to say, yeah, I like this ecosystem a lot. And we're just not there yet.
You were saying earlier that this week's episode of the podcast is very nationalist in a way. But I realize also there's an awful lot of, we've got to wait and see. So let's wait and see. I tell you what, let's say then, then that's it for this edition of the Apple Insider, unless you're a subscriber, in which case stay right where you are now for more. This time, actually, more from Steve Jobs, in a way. But before that, where can people find you, Mike, when they want to send you details about supply chain mechanics?
Send them to William@appleinsider.com. But no, in all seriousness, I'm Mike@appleinsider.com. I am Mike Worthley on Twitter. There's an underscore between Mike and Worthley, and it's pretty easy to spot me. Go to my author bio page, and where I'm at is listed there.
Cool. And I'm quite serious when I say, if you have supply chain thing, I would like to know. Email is always best for me. Click on my name on any article, and you'll get through to me. But now, thank you very much for listening. Do remember, though, to check out Apple Insider's HomeKit Insider every week. And also, thanks to our sponsor, Notion. Now, see you next time when Wes Hilliard will be back to tell us all about adventures on holiday with an Apple Vision Pro.